I'd like to begin by thanking the LAV safety contributors listed on the slide, and I want to highlight that many organizations have come together to pull this data together for us today, and that team includes people from Kaiser Permanente, Colorado, Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare, Vanderbilt, as well as the Food and Drug Administration and CDC, and so thank you all for your contributions. LAIV is a unique vaccine. It's the only U.S.-licensed vaccine that's licensed for intranasal administration. It was licensed in 2003 for use in healthy, non-pregnant persons aged 5 to 49 years. It contains identical seasonal influenza strains as inactivated trivalent influenza vaccine, referred to throughout this talk as TIV. In fall 2007, the LAIV label was revised to include healthy children aged 2 to 4 years. Post-vaccination wheezing was identified as a potential safety concern in young children. During this talk, I'd like to highlight some pediatric safety studies in children less than 5 years, spend a little bit of time describing the new Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or ACIP, recommendations for FluMist use in children aged 2 to 4 years, and then describe some post-licensure safety monitoring activities for wheezing. We'll talk a little bit about the vaccine adverse event reporting system and some other surveillance and study activities. This is a table that summarizes three clinical studies published between 2004 and 2006 that looked at the issue of risk of wheezing after LAIV administration, and all of these studies included at least some children who were less than 5 years of age. And I just want to draw your attention to the fact that the studies used different methods and different populations, and in particular, they had different criteria for exclusion. The first study listed in the table excluded children with asthma and wheezing, and the other two studies included children with asthma and wheezing. The sources are listed at the bottom of the slide, and the results were as follows. In the first study, children aged 18 months to 35 months had about a 4 times risk for wheezing during the 42 days after LAIV vaccination, compared with children who received placebo. In the second study, during 1 of 4 study years, but not during the other 3 years, children aged 18 months to 4 years had about a 3 times risk for wheezing after LAIV, compared with risk in periods of time before vaccination. And in the third study, which looked at included children that had recurrent respiratory infections, including bronchiolitis, there were similar wheezing rates in both groups during the 42 days after vaccination. The rate was about 13% in both LAIV and TIV recipients. So Belchi and colleagues, including Kathy Edwards, who contributed to this presentation, conducted a very comprehensive prospective study that supported the recent LAIV label change to include children aged 2 to 4 years. And I'm going to focus a little more on this one particular study because of its influence on the label change. This study included children aged 6 to 59 months, and about half of the population was drawn from the United States. There were about 4,000 subjects in two arms, an LAIV arm and a TIV arm. And children were excluded if they had a history of severe asthma or medically diagnosed or treated wheezing within 42 days before enrollment, but children with milder forms of wheezing were included. It was a multi-center, randomized clinical trial, and it assessed pre-specified wheezing outcomes after dose 1 through 42 days after the last vaccine dose. The references are at the bottom of the slide. I'll take a moment to describe the endpoint, which was medically significant wheezing, so you can think about how this endpoint might relate to children you see in practice. But this was defined in the study as wheezing on physical exam and one or more of the following: signs of respiratory distress, hypoxemia, defined as an O2 sat less than 95%, or a new prescription for daily bronchodilator therapy that was not on an as-needed basis. And the results of this study were as follows. In the age 6 to 23-month group, there was a statistical increased risk for MSW after LAIV. There were 3% of the LAIV recipients had wheezing in the post-vaccination period, compared with 2% who received the TIV instead. However, in the older kids, the 24 to 59-month group, there was no increased risk for wheeze in the LAIV recipients, and about 1% of the kids in both study arms had wheezing after vaccination. And it was on this basis that the license was expanded to include 2 to 4 year old children, but not to go younger than 2 years old. So I'd like to now change gears and look a little bit at the LAIV package insert and the ACIP recommendations. As I just described, the LAIV label was revised on September 19th, 2007. And it says that flu mist is indicated for individuals aged 2 to 49 years of age. I want to draw your attention particularly to the warning and precautions that were related to asthma and wheezing. According to the package insert, flu mist should not be administered to any individual with asthma and children less than 5 years of age with recurrent wheezing because of potential increased risk of wheezing post-vaccination. Now, because recurrent wheezing doesn't have a uniform definition and clinicians might define it differently, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices Influenza Working Group, which Tony serves as the CDC liaison for that group, really carefully considered this issue before developing recommendations and screening guidance for LAIV use in younger children. And in particular, the group consulted the literature and consulted with clinicians and experts experienced with wheezing to try to come up with some practical guidance. And this is what the ACIP came up with. Recommendations were published in the MMWR on November 23rd, 2007. And there's some links at the end of my talk for those who have more interest in reading this in more detail. And what the ACIP recommended at this time was that either LAIV or TIV can be used to vaccinate healthy, non-pregnant persons aged 2 to 49 years. And they went on to say that clinicians and immunization programs should screen for possible reactive airway disease when considering use of flu mist for children aged 2 to 4 years and should avoid use of this vaccine in children with asthma or a recent wheezing episode. And so they went further and actually put forward some guidance on how to do it. I'd be interested during the question and answer period if folks want to let us know how it's working in practice. But the guidance is as follows. Clinicians or vaccine providers should consult the medical record when it's available to identify children aged 2 to 4 years with asthma or recurrent wheezing that might indicate asthma. In addition, parents or caregivers of children aged 2 to 4 years should be asked this question. In the past 12 months, has a healthcare provider ever told you that your child had wheezing or asthma? And children whose parents or caregivers answer yes, as well as children who have asthma or have had a history of wheezing noted in the medical record within the past 12 months, should not receive flu mist. Importantly, these children should receive TIV, and it is available for use in children with asthma or possible reactive airway disease. So in the last few minutes, I'd like to tell you about some of the post-licensure monitoring for wheezing that is being conducted or will be conducted to look at this risk after LIV, particularly in young children. And we'll start with the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Many of you who have attended other talks during NIC or through your practice are probably very familiar with this system, which we'll refer to as VAERS. VAERS is a national passive surveillance system for reporting vaccine adverse events. It has well-recognized limitations, including risk of underreporting or reporting bias and potential for incomplete, unreliable data. In addition, VAERS only provides numerator information. It doesn't tell you the denominator of the population vaccinated. CDC and FDA scientists review daily alerts of serious adverse events and other medically important conditions, including wheezing after LAIV. And generally, when a new vaccine is licensed or recommended, VAERS data are among the first vaccine safety post-licensure data available. As a reminder, the VAERS form is one page. It's very simple to complete. Providers can also go to the website listed on the slide. And the form or website data collection tool collects information about the vaccinee, about the vaccines administered, about the adverse event, and the reporter. And in certain serious cases or special cases of interest, additional medical records are collected. So let's take a look at some of the preliminary VAERS data that we have. This graph, I want to acknowledge colleagues, Chris Ambrose and colleagues from MedImmune for providing the doses distributed data. This graph looks at VAERS reports by doses distributed for influenza seasons. And let me just define a few things. For VAERS, we define an influenza season as running from July 1st of 1 year to June 30th of the next year. And we realize that may not be congruent with some of the other definitions for influenza seasons. And then for making this graph, we separated non-serious reports shown in the yellow line and serious reports shown in the turquoise line. So the yellow dashed line shows the non-serious reports per 100,000 doses distributed for the 4.5 influenza seasons listed here. And as you see, there was a substantially higher reporting rate in the first year after the vaccine was licensed for non-serious reports, but then it leveled off, and this is very typical, typically what you see with a new vaccine. Importantly, the rate for serious adverse events has been consistently low and relatively stable since licensure. This slide shows the characteristics of the VAERS reports from July 2003 through the end of January 2008, and we've divided it into two pediatric age groups, the 2 to 4 year olds and the 5 to 18 year olds. And so keep in mind that the 2 to 4 year olds have only been recommended this year, although there were a few that were reported in years past, but these were off-label use reports. And importantly from this this table, you'll see that there were few serious adverse events and there were no pediatric deaths reported in VAERS associated with LAIV. And in most cases, in most of the reports, LAIV was the only vaccine administered. This table shows the age distribution of LAIV total and serious VAERS reports before the license change and after the license change. And I'd like to draw your attention to three findings in this table. First, the rate of serious adverse events is low during both time periods. It was about 6% of total reports. Second, if you look up at the top, in the first 4 months of the new indication for LAIV to use it in children 2 to 4 years, the number of reports in this age group more than doubled compared with the number of reports received during all the other influenza seasons. And then third, and I think this is worth bringing out, is that after the label change, we also observed an increase in reports from children less than 2 years. Now, these children are not recommended for LAIV. When I looked at these reports, almost all of them really only listed medication error as the reason for the report, and I didn't see evidence of other clinically important findings on most of these reports. But it does suggest that providers, either intentionally or unintentionally, may be using LAIV more commonly in younger babies than they were before the label change, and I think this is something we all want to keep an eye at on. So since wheezing was our adverse event of special interest, we took a closer look at children with wheezing, asthma, or bronchospasm during the first part of this 2007-2008 influenza season. And in the date range shown, we identified 10 reports of wheezing. I'd like to actually take this time to acknowledge, in particular, some of the VAERS colleagues that have contributed, including Panina Haber, Hector Izureta, and Elaine Miller in terms of reviewing and compiling this VAERS data. But if we look at these reports, we see that they're distributed throughout the pediatric age group. And when we review the records of these reports, we find that the onset of the adverse event after vaccination, which might or might not have only been wheezing, was early. It was about 0 to 4 days after vaccination. 9 of the 10 reports involved only LAIV. 9 children had history about asthma history or wheezing history available, and of these, 7 did not have any history and 2 did. And there were 2 serious reports. In addition to VAERS, we also use the Vaccine Safety Data Link to monitor vaccine safety after a vaccine is licensed or after a new recommendation is implemented. VSD is a collaboration between CDC and 8 managed care organizations shown on this map. And it provides medical and immunization histories for more than 5.5 million people annually. To date, there has been limited use of LAIV in VSD sites, possibly because the recommendation was implemented after many of the groups had to order a vaccine last year. The one exception is the site that's involved in the ongoing phase 4 study by the MedImmune, which I'll briefly describe in a moment. But VSD has been discussing the issue and does plan to conduct studies looking at clinically important outcomes of LAIV safety in young children, including wheezing outcomes. And they typically use near real-time surveillance methods, which are termed rapid cycle analysis methods, as well as traditional epidemiologic studies. We do have some information. I would like to thank Eric Weintraub for pulling this together for us, showing the doses distributed throughout 7 VSD sites during about 1.5 influenza seasons. And so there are 2 points here. One is you'll see that most of the doses are being used in the 5 to 17 age group. And the second point is that there really is limited uptake of this vaccine. So to put it into context, as of February 2008, there were about 50,000 LAIV doses that had been used in the 7 VSD sites. And by contrast, there were nearly 3 million TIV doses that were used. And then this slide was provided by Chris Ambrose from MedImmune, and it highlights the studies underway or planned by MedImmune. They will conduct studies both in children and persons aged 5 to 49 years. Those are underway, and in 2007, they initiated a safety study in the younger age group. And in addition, they're looking at rates of use and safety of LAIV in populations for whom LAIV is not recommended. And that plans for that study will go for 3 years. So in summary, during 2007-2008 influenza season, ACIP recommended LAIV as an option for vaccinating young children aged 2 to 4 years. Initial VAERS reports do not suggest a concern for wheezing after LAIV in young children. However, data suggest uptake of LAIV is limited. Continued vaccine safety surveillance for post-vaccination wheezing is needed, and providers should screen young children for recurrent wheezing before administering LAIV according to the ACIP recommendations. And this slide is provides some useful references and web links for more information about influenza, LAIV, and vaccine safety. Thank you. I have a question for the audience.
Yeah.
I'd actually be very curious to know how these wheezing screening guidelines are working in your practice. I know Tony and I had the opportunity to work with the working group to help develop them, and we got some input, but I'd be interested now or later in hearing your feedback.
I just wanted to comment on one thing you said in terms of off-label use. We do, as you'll see in a minute, we do a lot of surveys of pediatricians and family medicine docs, and for several years now, we've been getting a lot of unsolicited information about lots of offline use, particularly when there's a shortage or a delay. So lots of docs out there, in fact, are probably using this in younger children, so it's very interesting.